I thought I would trick you. See if you'd notice. I'm going to look at Psalm 43 this morning. So because it's only five verses, let's read the psalm together, and then we'll look into it this morning. The theme that I'd like us to think of when we're considering this psalm today is the God of hope and a heart of despair. The God of hope and a heart of despair. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we thank you that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that your love for us is the theme of our song. We praise you that today we do have the opportunity to sing praises to you. Thank you that we have our health, that we have our freedom, the ability to get up and move around freely today and to come to church. Thank you for these practical blessings. But thank you more than that for loving us, for saving us, for making us your children. That now by your grace the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we're sealed with the earnest of our salvation. And that we are looking forward to not the life that is continuing on, eternal existence, but eternal life in your presence, saved from even the very presence and practice of our sin. We thank you today for these blessings, and we ask, Lord, that by your grace you'd minister to us through your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit might illuminate us, that he by his working would conform us to the image of your Son by the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many psalms are difficult to outline, and I've noticed we're now on the 43rd of these. I've noticed that in many studies, many resources that I look at, one student of scripture will structure a psalm one way and give one outline, and then another one may give an entirely different outline. And that, I think, because that is in part because these are poems. So their structure is slightly different. But I think another reason, it is part of the genius of God in the way that he ministers to us through his word, especially the Psalms. For they have a ministry to us in each of our life situations. You can come to a psalm and it will minister to you one way at one reading, and then at another time it will minister to you in an entirely different way. It's part of the wisdom of God in ministering to us through his word. So it is a blessing to study the Psalms through their structure, but it is also a blessing to study the Psalms through their themes. To identify a theme through a psalm rather than looking at it verse by verse. And that's what I'd like to do this morning, in looking at Psalm 43. But in order to do that, we need to study these themes as they occur in both Psalm 42 and 43. So in general, The message of Psalm 42 and 43 is to believers who are experiencing low times. Let me draw your attention to see these. In verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. The psalmist was off his food. So that's very difficult for me to imagine Tucker ever not being hungry. But this is a psalmist who is so low that he doesn't want to eat. And it also says that this psalmist is described as being cast down. In verse 6, my soul is cast down. The idea here is of being bowed under a burden, that you're weighed down with something. And then it says in verse 5 about being disquiet. Why art thou disquieted in me? It's like there's a noise, there's a kind of tension or a hurt or some sense of anxiety within. And then in verse 9, the psalmist is talking about this low time in that he goes mourning. Or she goes mourning. And then also in verse 4, there's the idea that the psalmist is feeling like he or she misses out. That I'm missing something. So, you know, the LOL, there's also another one which is FOMO, fear of missing out. Like, I'm afraid that I'm missing out on something. They've got a grand time. They're having a wonderful time, and I'm missing out on that. They're having special meetings, and we're not. So these are all ways that if you look at these two psalms together, it is describing a believer who's discouraged, who's cast down, disquieted, mourning. The two nouns, depression and Christian, are not mutually exclusive. That's not to say we should go after therapy the way that the culture around us is crazed with it. Instead of that, instead of denying the struggle that we have, we should be ready to push back against that struggle as believers. Most of our unhappiness comes from listening to ourselves rather than talking to ourselves. And as we will see in the fourth of these themes, we're going to study four of them in these two psalms today. As we will see in the fourth theme, this psalm instructs us to talk, to remind yourself of who your God is. So rather than listening to yourself, you should talk to remind yourself of who your God is. So four themes. The first of these three are easily identified because they all have to do with questions. They all involve questions. So if you look with me, please, in chapter 42, and verse 3, where is thy God? And chapter 42, verse 10, where is thy God? So these are the questions that others ask us. Or to make it more personal, these are the questions that others ask me. And you'll notice if you read those two verses, again, verse 3 and verse 10, they're doing this continually. They're doing this daily. They're communication. Now, when you ask questions, sometimes you're asking a question because you want to know the answer. Sometimes you're asking a question for effect. Oh, you enjoyed that, did you? You're not asking them, did you really enjoy that? There's kind of a spur in there. That wasn't very enjoyable, was it? So there are ways that we ask questions. Well, this is asking a question, not because these questioners want to find the Lord. They're asking this question because it arises out of their enmity against God. And it is especially targeted to you and to me as believers to discourage us. That God does not exist, so there's no point in you trusting him. The fact that there is no God is not a concern to them, but it is a problem to you. Because of your conviction that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's the point? What's the point in singing? What's the point in trusting the Lord? What's the point in praying to him when there's no evidence of his favor or his encouragement? In 2009, the Lord was leading in our family to return to Scotland. And so I'd already informed my boss that I was planning and I was looking for work in Scotland. Around that time, there was a Muslim woman that I had been witnessing to. She worked in one of the labs and would often come. The service that I was doing was for other labs, and that brought me across her path. And so there were several times where she would come again to the lab where I worked, and she would say, "You're still here, Sandy." But it wasn't, there was a barb in there. It was, "Oh, you're trusting the Lord to get you to Scotland, are you, Sandy? What, you're still here? Where's your God, Sandy?" And of course, there was this discouragement that came with it because we were waiting. It took until 2011 for the Lord to provide that open door and that job in Dundee. He did in his time, but in that time I was waiting, this lady's question, "Where is your God?" was a discouragement. That's the first theme. You see it in verse 3. And verse 10. The second theme is also a question. So the first one is the questions others ask us. The second question, the second theme of questions, is the questions that I ask the Lord. So Psalm 42, verse 9. "Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Psalm 43, verse 2, is almost a repeat of that. "Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Psalm 42, verse 2, is also a question, but it doesn't really seem clear if that is to be addressed to God or not. Psalm 42, verse 2. "When shall I come and appear before God?" Maybe you've heard, or maybe you've read, it's never right to ask God why. And I think there is wisdom in that. If you are asking in an accusatory way, if you're asking in unbelief, that is an affront to the wisdom and care of God. My father planned it all. We sang about that this morning. So it's often true. But which is better? Which is a better question? Is it better to talk to God about the distance and the oppression of the enemy, or just to be bitter against the Lord? Is it better to talk to the Lord about your struggle, or just to be bitter? I forgot to mention, if you could look back at those verses. So in verse 9, Psalm 42, verse 9, why go I mourning? And then we're given this explanation of why. Because of the oppression of the enemy. And the same in 43, verse 2, because of the oppression of the enemy. Your enemy is active. You have a personal enemy. There is not just the Lord that's active in the world. We're told that Satan is walking to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So to go back to that question, is it better to talk to the Lord about the distance? Is it better to explain to him? Because he already knows what's in our heart. James chapter 4 verse 8 tells us, draw nigh unto God, and what will he do? He will draw nigh unto you. As you tell him about your struggles, as you turn your face to him rather than your back to him, in your low times, he will draw near to you. So it's not just doubt that we're looking at here in these questions that I ask the Lord. In a way, this is asking the Lord for help in my unbelief, like that man whose son was cast into the fire and Jesus came to heal him. And the man says, Lord, help my unbelief. Third theme. The third theme. So the first one, the questions that others ask us, and they are aimed at discouragement. Then there are the questions that I ask the Lord, admitting my struggle and asking for help in my unbelief, turning to him rather than turning my back. The third one are the questions that I should ask myself. So there are three of these. And they're almost an exact repetition. Verse 5, verse 11, and Psalm 43, verse 5. So let me ask you to look at these. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. What did you notice? You thought I was reading the same verse, didn't you? That's the pastor. He keeps reading the same thing over and over. This is a repeated question. And in this repetition, we're recognizing what's going on. Instead of listening to my complaining heart, I'm addressing my complaining heart and I'm talking to it. When I'm cast down, when the weights of things are on top of me, when my burdens are getting me down, is that a common experience to you? Yeah, nobody wants to nod their head, okay. And can you control your feelings when you're down? Well, connected with this recognition of what's going on, and instead of just listening to my unbelieving heart, my complaining, I'm going to talk to myself and I'm going to exhort myself to hope in the Lord. For I shall yet praise him. We are all different in our makeup. Even that saying, Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean. Even Jack and his wife were different. So not only in our appetites, but also the way we are in our psychology, the way that we are in our hearts. We all are made up differently. We are of every possible type. Extroverts and introverts. Class A people, Class B people. Whatever that means. And isn't it amazing that no matter what kind of physical type you are or psychological makeup you have, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will believe, the Lord will save them. Though we all come the same way, although that genuine invitation is open to all, our experience as believers differs. There may be some who are low more than others. There may be others who have dark mood times and depression times and discouragements face them more than others. For some, they go through it. For some, they go through and they stay in it for longer. And it seems like there's no sign of lifting. The oppressing and discouraging way life is. But you can talk to yourself and exhort yourself to hope in the Lord. That brings us then to the fourth of these themes. The first three are all questions. The questions others ask, the questions I ask the Lord, and the questions that I ask myself. The one is to discourage. The second is for help in my unbelief. The third is to address it. Don't just listen to it. Recognize it and address it. But then the fourth thing is not a question. The fourth thing is to talk to yourself the truth about who your God is. To talk to yourself the truth about who your God is. And there are six of these. Six of these that are the health of your countenance. You want to have it on your face? Well, this is how you have it on your face. It is by talking to yourself about who your God is. Having right theology. But not just theology that you'd have in an outline. This is personal theology. We're going to see that for all six of these. It is about your God. Psalm 42, verse 6. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then he goes on to say, I will remember thee. Oh my God, my soul is cast down. I will remember thee. Psalm 42, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. If you look in the context there, it talks about the daytime and in the night. All the moments of my day, and then not only the moments of my days and the moments of my nights, but even forever, he is the God of my life. Forever and ever, eternal life with him. Psalm 42, verse 9. I will say unto God my rock. So the idea of this word rock is a lofty stronghold. When you're feeling vulnerable, he is unchanging. He is unchallenged. He is unthreatened. He is God, my rock. In Psalm 43, verse 2, and there's an interesting parallel here. In verse 8, it's the God of my life. In Psalm 43, verse 2, it is the God of my strength. When you're weak, when you can't, when you just can't get up and get going, he is the God of my strength. Psalm 43, verse 4, I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. When you are unhappy, does that ever happen? When you're low and you're downcast and you're mourning, just as the psalmist describes himself, when you've got nothing to be happy about, who is the Lord? He is my exceeding joy. And then in that same verse, Psalm 43, verse 4, the second part, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. When you're overlooked, even when you're absent and alone from the fellowship of God's people, the psalmist can enjoy the blessing of this altar, the altar of God, my God. Psalm 42 and 43 do not paint a picture of a believer who is in constant jubilation. Neither does it show the believer as passive when dark times fall. The answer, in contrast, is a desperate thirst for God, my God. A thirst that requires us to talk to ourselves, write things about our God. So having said that, having spelled that out, these four themes, and talking to myself about who my Lord is, are you and I prayerless when it comes to seeking the Lord? That prayerlessness is an evidence of unbelief and indifference. It's as if I'm saying to the Lord, you can't help me. You're not the answer to this. I'm not even going to try. When I'm lazy and I'm easily overcome, when it is too much of a bother to open the Word of God and to be reminded of these truths. Proverbs chapter 2 talks about the truth and wisdom of God as being like hid treasure. You have to dig for it. You have to go there. And sometimes with a spade and a shovel, you need to dig into the Bible. One of my first jobs, I remember I was 8 years old. School summer holidays in Scotland seemed so long, and so my mum arranged with a man called Mr. Bell that I would go and pick raspberries for him. So I was the only person there. And as an 8-year-old, these lines of raspberry canes, it looked like they went all the way over to the horizon. And I don't know if you've ever tried picking raspberries, but you never make progress. When you pick strawberries, you can always see the next ones and you keep working your way along the drill. But in raspberries, it's not that way. And I don't think I moved 6 inches from where I started that morning. And so I pleaded with my mum, please don't make me go back. There's a labor that is required of us to seek the Lord. Are you putting in that labor, or are you lazy? Our God saves when we come to Him. His offer of salvation, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Whosoever will believe on Jesus, He will save. And we need to make that offer known, that others might know this joy, this God. But also as a believer, you may be sure that one so strong can secure you, who is able to keep you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And in that verse 38, it says, talks about death. Will death separate you from his love? And it goes on to talk about life. Is there anything in life that would separate you from his love? What about Alzheimer's? What about ill health? What about a car accident? What about losing your house? What about losing a family member? Losing the person closest to you, your companion in life? What about losing your name because of what others are saying about you? None of that can separate you from the love of God. He is secure. He is that rock. He is that strength. And in that same verse, it says, even angels, even a mighty angel can't separate you from the love of God. So strong and so faithful is he. And so the psalmist says, I will praise thee, O God, my God. We sang earlier today, I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I trust him, whatever may fall. And then it surprised me, there was a second song that we sang today. I sing because I can't be silent. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 do not deny the struggle, but they do tell you to be ready to address it, to push back with self-talk that reminds your soul who your God is. He's my God. He's the God of my life. He is God, my rock, God of my strength. He is God, my exceeding joy, and he is God, my God. So let me encourage you, if this is a low time for you, these dark winter nights are a time when it makes you sad just to be in the winter. Here's the way not to deny it, but the way to address it. Let's pray.